Tom Kissingberry here. Nah, I'm just kidding. We don't have Tom Kissingberry money. It's just me, Peter Howard, and Jake Anderson meeting at the Dynasty Crossroads once a week for 30 minutes to talk about one player at a time. We look at the film with Jake, we talk about the analytics with me, and we try to come to a consensus. We do have a pretty cool theme song, though.
Peter crunches numbers, and Jake just grinds that tape. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade at X5, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Mello, a.k.a. the Gambler, a.k.a. Young $50, a.k.a. the Joker and the Riddler. And I, too, have a trading problem.
So that's why you asked to go last, because you had like 16 names to throw on there. That makes sense now. I got it. Cool. I like it. Hey, everybody. Welcome. Oh, man, I scroll down to session 63 of the Trade Addicts podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. It is, I don't know, a normal day. There's nothing. How are you guys doing? Brian, did you do anything good this weekend?
This weekend. I studied this weekend.
My name's Brian. I have a real life stuff.
It wasn't fun at all. I was not studying game film.
I have something to admit. When the trailer for the Aladdin remake came out, I tweeted out, is anyone actually excited for these things, or do they just make them because they know they'll make money? I saw it this weekend. It was fantastic. So I apologize, Disney. I apologize. Well, I don't apologize, Will Smith, because he's awesome, and I didn't. Thankfully, he didn't try and be Robin Williams, because that would instantly make me hate it. Because
yeah, I was actually
Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Sorry everybody who was like, yo, I'm excited, and then I like rained on your parade because it was actually great.
I was going to ask you if he did it justice.
No, he did really well, and mostly it's because he really just didn't try and be Robin Williams. Yeah, he was smart. His own genie, and that's what he needed to be.
Awesome.
All right, because this is now partially a kids' movies podcast because the amount of times you quote Moana and all that, so I figured I'd bring it up.
There you go. Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
All right, so now that we've gotten that out of the way, as you've heard, we have our guest today is Mello, a member of Trade Addicts 2. Now,
yeah, the best Trade Addicts.
Right off the bat.
Hashtag no comment.
Oh, yeah, I heard it today from Trade Addicts 3 all day long, so they're going to be getting it.
Listen. There's no reason, no one needs to, there doesn't need to be choices. Everyone can just live together happily. This doesn't need to happen. Oh man, where the hell was I going with this now? It's gone now. All right, well, tell people who you are and all that stuff, Twitter and I don't know. Start talking.
Right, so just real quick, I'm Mello from Sacramento. Been playing redraft leagues for about 19 years, which is wow. Crazy because I'm only 37. So yeah, that's pretty crazy. But Dynasty only, this is only my third year. So, I mean, I know a little bit, but I'm still learning as well. That's pretty much it. You guys, as Way tweeted in earlier, He knows that I also used to rap. I have a couple albums on iTunes that you guys could check out. And, you know, that's pretty much it. Married with two kids and work for the gas and electric company out here in Sacramento. That's pretty much it.
Rock and roll. All right. So you ate into my interview a little bit. You've been playing fantasy for longer than some of, at least one of the guests at the time was alive. You've been playing Dynasty for about 3 years, which means you jumped into Trade Addicts when you've been playing for like a little over a year, which is pretty ballsy. So good for you, man. And it's
right. Fun, I don't even, I didn't, I had never even, you know, I at the time was just, you know, had even heard about MFL because I was mainly, you know, my redrafts, we just use Yahoo, ESPN, you know. I had barely even heard about MFL. I just joined one league the year before. And then I heard about your guys' league. And then before you knew it, it just, you know, blew up. I was lucky enough to have the best regular season record last year, but my team fell apart after that. So,
oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that arms race a little later. Okay, well, do you have anything set aside for us? Something that makes you look good, something that makes you look bad, some trades you made?
Yeah, I wrote a couple down. Just like, for instance, one I definitely regret. Tyreek had a – this is actually in the Trade Addicts 2 League. Tyreek had a really big game. I can't remember if it was week 1, 2, or 3. And I traded him for Nuke straight up. And at the time, due to the return yard points, it actually didn't look bad. And actually, without the possible suspension stuff, it actually didn't look bad. I think Tyreek might have even finished higher last year still. But I really regret that one right about now.
Yeah, you got Tyreek in that deal, right?
No, traded him.
You traded him away for Nuke.
I traded him away, yeah, to Big Baller Brand.
So that was good for you, man. I mean, that worked out for the better. I mean, Tyreek might have scored more points last season, but I think still, overall, Nuke is the more valuable asset and isn't running the risk of being suspended for a very long time.
Right, no, that's what I'm saying. Maybe I said that wrong. I gave up Tyreek. I gave up Nuke for Tyreek.
There you go. Okay, sorry, yeah. Sorry. So, no, that kind of sucks a little bit for you.
Yes.
There you go.
Especially with the suspension stuff. I mean, without it's, I mean, it's.
Yeah, had he not been a horrible human being, that wouldn't be so terrible.
Right.
Or allegedly been a horrible human being this time. I guess we'll get into that in a little bit later. All right, so do you have something good for us then?
So a couple quick ones. I also got Tyreek in another league just the other day. I gave up a 2021 first for him, and I have a really good team, so I'm not expecting that to be high. But I don't know, I like that one.
Yeah, man, all these 2021 first trades going on, it's I don't know if I remember last year this happening so quickly, where people started ditching their 2020 picks like right as soon as 19 came around. Like, it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a good idea. I do like Tyreek, and I do think he's, again, we'll talk about that later, but I think he'll be definitely back next year. And yeah, someone offered it to me, and it was just an auto accept to me. So,
all right, nice. So, what is a guiding principle you have with you, whether you are offering or evaluating trades?
You know, I'm pretty. Neil called me. I don't know what the word was, but Brian also. Brian, what did you say that? The type of traders that we are?
Ridiculously handsome?
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, I'm not recalling it, Mello, right now.
It was like you said that we're like sort of like a top heavy. We kind of go for it all. So that's kind of like my thing. I'm definitely not shy to throw in a second or two guys just for free in order to pull in a big guy to make a move like that. Kind of just, you know, making crazy moves at times if I think that it's going to, you know, pay off or get me that championship.
Yeah, you're not afraid to go for it, that's for sure. And to get your guys, I think, is the other thing that, you know, if you got a player that you believe in, you kind of go out and get them. So that's very similar in the way that Russ and I do business as well.
Hashtag go right, get your guy.
Right. Right. And I don't even use the Dynasty Trade Calculator. I've heard good things. A buddy of mine uses it in a league that we co-own, and I'm sure it's great. I just go with my instinct usually.
You see, that's great and all, except if you're like me sometimes and your instincts are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So calculators come in handy a little bit.
Right.
All right. So we mentioned it a few times. Let's just jump straight into it. Scott Connor at Charles Chill FFB wants to know, Tyreek, we have to cover Tyreek. Where is he in your wide receiver rankings now? So the reason we're asking, he is bringing this up, is because there is apparently going to be zero actual legal recourse at this point. The DA came out and said that there is just going to be no charges pressed. Those are the right words. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be no NFL suspensions because they don't care about no law. So, Mello, why don't you go first? What do you think is going to happen, Tyreek, and to Tyreek, words, and how does this change how you've been viewing him for the, you know, since we thought that he was just going to be kicked out of the league?
Well, I'm going to try and come off not looking bad on this. As far as siding with him.
There's a good chance that he's a horrible human being. Like, this is, we're talking about fantasy football right. at, you know, in every aspect right now. We're going to leave off of the human being part just because that's sort of what we have to do. So don't worry about seeming like a bad person. Just go for it.
So there was a radio host here in Sacramento, and he had pointing something out that he listened to that call, the Tyreek call with his ex, a number of times, and I listened to it too, and he said if you listen to it, Tyreek never once agrees with anything that she says. At the end, she kind of makes him mad, and he makes a statement, and to me the whole thing got blown out of proportion. Let alone no one's gonna be able to use that tape in court for anything. Personally, so I just think that you know, if there's nothing that the law is going to do, if there's nothing that the law is going to do, and the Chiefs already had the Kareem Hunt thing, and you know that hurt a lot. They still haven't cut him. You know, I just think that, you know, there's going to need to be more proof come out in order for anything to happen to him, unfortunately. And again, yes, the son's arm was broken, but we just need more facts. Was the son with Tyreek's parents? That's another thing I've heard. And just no one just knows that stuff yet. So again, I'm not trying to side with them. But I just need to see more in order to think that this guy is going to miss, you know, a whole season. So, you know, as of right now, he's definitely slid down in rankings. But I definitely think he's worth a chance because they lost their Kareem Hunt. I don't think they're going to try and lose or cut him from the Chiefs. So,
yeah. I think if they were going to cut him, they absolutely would have done it by now. That I mean, that's just what I keep thinking. It's just, it's been this long. Brian.
Yeah.
How does this affect Tyreek in your rankings at all? I mean, whether you want him on your team or not, I guess doesn't really matter. But like, I think I'm doing a bunch of mock drafts, so I don't join any more startups.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm literally doing about five right now just because mm-hmm. the itch is real.
Mm-hmm.
And he has not been selected before about the 12th round.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, these are mocks and not real, so who knows what that really means. But
right.
How do you feel about that, like Tyreek still going that late? Is
way too low. Way too low. When we're talking about fantasy-wise, right? So, again, trying to leave out the human being aspect of this, right? If you don't want to own him because he's a you think he's a bad human being or you think he made a bad mistake or whatever it is, I understand. If we're talking strictly about value, you know, he's the wide receiver. If for May, he's wide receiver 46 in rankings. 46. For me, I mean, I'm taking him. That's at least like two rounds too low. I mean, this is a guy that you're talking about talent wise. If he doesn't get in trouble, and even if he does get in trouble, I don't think it's going to be Ray Rice trouble. I think it's going to be the same thing as Kareem, you know, nine games or eight games or whatever it was. And then he'll be back. And when he's back, he's going to perform. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think for me, you know, I'm taking him over guys like I'm taking him over Jarvis Landry. I'm taking him over probably A-Rob, Sammy. Those guys are all in the low 20s as far as wide receiver, you know, their wide receiver ranking. So, I mean, I'm risk averse. So I probably am staying away for the most part. But I mean, I don't know with him being the wide receiver 46, I think in terms of, again, in terms of rankings, so these are rankings, not the ADP or anything like that. So I'm not exactly sure where he's going, in ADP, but, I'm not taking there's 15, probably at least wide receivers in front of him that I'm taking him over. I'd still take a shot on him over, you know, right. He's just way too low right now.
Mello, Tyreek Hill or N'Keal Harry? Dynasty.
Oh, give me N'Keal. It's close, but I'll take N'Keal.
Brian?
I agree. It's very close. I'm probably taking Hill.
All right, because next is Cooper Kupp.
Tyreek for me.
I'm still probably taking him too.
All right, because I mean, that's wide receiver 20 right there. And the next is Sammy Watkins, who you already said you'd be taking Hill over. So
right.
It seems like we're slotting him around that wide receiver 20, which mm-hmm. is an ADP of like 43.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian Hooten in the chat said he's probably going to go up to third or fourth round soon. And in one QB, it seems like that's the case.
Yep.
And I mean, we knew Zeke was getting suspended. That didn't knock him out of the first round because it's six games over the life of a dynasty, you know, of a player's career, hoping that they don't do something stupid again. So, yeah, and especially with, I mean, Tyreek was top three last year, ish, close enough. It feels crap to say it, and I only have one share, and the one time I did sell him pretty lightly, that league folded, so I don't feel nearly as bad about it. I mean, it seems like he's already going to start getting his value, even if he gets a 6 to 8 game suspension. Like, it definitely seems like him being out of the league or getting cut is just off the table at this point.
Yeah, like he's going in ADP. So this is the problem. He, depending on the league you're in, right? So he's going as high as in the DLF mocks. He went as high as 37 overall, and he went as low as 117.
Oh wow.
So there's a huge discrepancy there in terms of his value, you know, but when you average it out, obviously, he's going right in front of Will Fuller and Dante Pettis. I'm taking Tyreek Hill every single day of the week over those guys. It's not even close.
He's going behind DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
I'm not taking DK Metcalf over Tyreek Hill.
DK Metcalf. Let's move on. all right, Mello, you wanted to talk about something. Start talking about it.
Right, just that I had are we talking about Todd Gurley and Daryl Henderson?
Go for it. So, man. Yeah.
Right. So I'm just I owned Gurley in three leagues and I jumped ship completely about a month and a half ago everywhere. Now I wasn't I'm still not going to say that I'm fully buying in on Daryl Henderson yet, only because I still need to see stuff first from him. But I don't know if you guys caught that special that Maurice Jones-Drew did last week on Total Access about Gurley. And basically, apparently, he had hurt his knee really badly in week one against Oakland. And they showed the play where this happened. And this is something that maybe you guys have heard about, but I don't remember hearing anything about this until now that that was a thing. And basically, you know, I believe Willie McGinnis started going into the interview. Willie McGinnis had also said, I think this is the beginning of the end of Todd Gurley. And then right after the Maurice Jones-Drew's piece wrapped up, he had also said that, you know, basically it's not looking good. He didn't come out and say, you know, oh, I spoke to Todd Gurley and things are looking great. It was the total opposite. And from everything I heard, I'm someone who likes to take all the different pieces and sort of put them together and stack them. And the higher bad news it gets, the more I want to get out on Gurley. And from what I'm hearing, it's just really bad.
Okay, so I have one share of Todd Gurley, and I just purchased it. So I'm not going to run away from that at this point. But
what'd you pay?
Well, it's sort of the other way around. I sold. I'm sorry, Brian. I'm going to say it. I sold you. I sold Saquon, and
oh no,
it was in kitchen. It's in kitchen sink one, and I had Saquon and
how did you not sell me Saquon? I'm in that league. Actually, I'm on the other side though, huh?
Yeah, and you weren't in there then either.
Okay. I'm in the other side.
And I literally I had nothing else. Like I did not do very well in that dispersal.
Sure.
So I sold Saquon for Todd Gurley and Keenan Allen. And this was at the very beginning of Gurley's knee issues. Like, I think this was maybe right when they re-signed. No, it's right when they either when they let what's his name go, CJ Anderson go, or when they matched Malcolm Brown, somewhere around there. So it definitely wasn't cratered Gurley value, but it definitely wasn't real Gurley value. I still think he could be a top 12 back. Like, I'm not going to be naive. I don't think he's going to be, you know, a shot at a top five running back anymore. I don't think he'll get the volume. I still think he's good. I still think that line is good. I still think that offense is good. Give Gurley 18, 20 touches. He can still be a top 12, even if he's a 15, top 15 back. With the way running backs rotate with their production, I'm good with that. Now, Daryl Henderson, on the other hand, I have no idea what to do with that. I have one share that I drafted in like the early twos at the very, you know, and one of the drafts that was like at the very beginning, like right after the draft. I haven't tried to sell him. I don't think I'm going to. I think that's, you know, I'm going to hold on to my one Gurley share and hope that he's Todd Gurley. I'm going to hold on to that one Daryl Henderson share, hoping that Todd Gurley's not Todd Gurley.
Mm-hmm.
Suffer with one, be lucky with the other. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that's like the ultimate hedging my bet. What do you think about Henderson, Brian?
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, as far as Gurley goes, I mean, I don't know. I actually didn't see the report that Mello's talking about here with MJD and McGinnis and those guys. If Gurley was hurt in week one against Oakland, I mean, he ran for 1,150 yards in 13 games after that. So it may have affected him, but it didn't affect him horribly. He had 500 yard games after that and caught a ton of passes too. So, but who knows? I mean, that absolutely could have happened. I was on the open bar a couple weeks ago with
Ethan. I remember.
Yeah. Sorry. but Ethan Turner, who's a, he's Dr. something. Dr. Turner, I think.
Physical therapy.
Yes. So he does this stuff, right? He works with these guys. And we were talking about arthritis because that's all we definitively know right now. I mean, could there be more to that? Absolutely. But he talked about arthritis and how arthritis is literally a pain management thing. So, you know, it obviously affected him late in the year and in the playoffs. He only ran the ball, 10 times in the Super Bowl or something like that. So, I mean, it definitely affected him. There's no doubt about it. He had heavy usage in early in the season. So, you know, I think Henderson coming in is to keep Gurley fresh throughout the year so that when he gets into week 14, 15, 16 in the playoffs, he's not so worn down that he's like going out there in severe pain. You know, I think they're trying to manage that a little bit. He still had 330 touches. So they cut that by 50 and he has 280 touches. Todd Gurley with 280 touches next year is probably, I would even believe that he may still be a top five running back in that case, if he's not hampered too badly by the knee. Now, here's what I'd say about all this too, in terms of his value and whatnot. I'm trying to buy Gurley some places, and I tend to believe that this is not the beginning of the end for him. But full disclosure, when I'm buying him, I'm not paying. I've been working with Mike, our boy Mike McKinnon, in Trade Addicts 4 on a trade for Gurley for like the last 2 weeks. We've been going back and forth, and you know, I'm not paying top 10, top 15 dynasty asset prices. So while I may say I still believe Gurley is that, I'm not willing to pay that. So I don't know. The Gurley thing is a tough one. I think people are overpaying for Henderson right now if they don't own Gurley. If you own Gurley and you're paying a late first for Henderson, no problem. Completely understand that logic or line of thinking. If you're paying a mid to late first for him and you don't own Gurley, that's a little bit of a reach to me. Did you see the 101? He went 101 in a league. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's just. Yeah, we're gonna talk about this. Hold on.
Okay.
Mello. I went okay. Well, yes, I went into the DLF trade finder because on the show sheet you said, "Have you seen any trades for Daryl Henderson?" So I looked some up. Let's do this in a little bit of order. Daryl Henderson for a 2021st, Geronimo Allison, and then 312.
So are you asking me what I would rather have?
Yeah, Henderson or 2021st.
The reason that it's hard for me to answer stuff like that is because I'm like a real sicko who is going to go in and look exactly what that person who owns the 2021st has.
Oh, don't be like that. Totally, you're never going to be able to figure out where that guy's pick's going to land. Don't play that game. That's going to get you in trouble. Okay, so Brian, random 2021st or Daryl Henderson, because I'm not talking to Mello anymore right now.
I'm taking the 2021st.
Me too. Okay, Brian, you ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Daryl Henderson, Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones.
Mello?
Aaron Jones.
How do you not take Aaron Jones? All right, and you want to see... I wish we could talk to these people, because Daryl Henderson for Kenny Golladay.
Kenny Golladay, piece of cake.
What?
And I don't even like him.
Me neither. But like we were joking about how ridiculous it was that Daryl Henderson went 101. Golladay's worth more than the 101. Like, assuming it's not super flex, more than the 101. Oh man, if that person took Daryl Henderson and 101 in a super flex, like you kick that guy out for, you know.
Well, here's the thing about that too.
To protect your league.
I'm not trying to, like, by no means are we saying, like, people we're advocates of going and getting your guy. If you believe Daryl Henderson is going to be the next big thing and you're concerned about Gurley and you pick him 101, good for you. That feels like, and I'm not saying this is definitely the case, but it feels like throwing a guard
being so nice
and like hoping that it's, you know, hoping that next year at this time you can say I was the only one in the entire world that decided to select him at 101. I've been on him since day. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like me with Saquon, except I wasn't the only one with Saquon. You know what I'm saying? So it feels awfully, awfully. I mean, why would you not? And even so, if you had the 101, no one else on the planet's taking Henderson 101. So trade back. Like, even I think I read in that thread, it was like,
all right,
it was like, well, I tried, but nobody wanted to move up.
So you make your pick and you trade for the player later.
Exactly. Or like take a third to move back three spots. Somebody will give you a third. You know what I'm saying? Like you didn't have to waste the capital on him. I don't know. That's just my thoughts on it. I'm not attacking anybody and or trying to make a scene. I just, to me, I exactly that, Russ. I think you take whatever player, you know, you take one of those other guys and then you go trade them later for Henderson if you believe in the guy that much.
Okay, have we satisfied your Gurley and Henderson thirst, Mello?
Yeah, I'm thirsty for Henderson. No, I when I saw that report Monday, I went and put trades out everywhere. And I guess I didn't pay up enough because I couldn't get him anywhere.
Never trust the TV. I mean, they're selling you something. And usually it's just ratings. All right. Listener question. At J Money Jarrett wants to know, what's it like being in a league with us? And how you handle trades, league disputes about trades? All right. First of all, how awesome is it to be in a league with me and Brian? Let's answer that question first.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I can't believe I actually just said that out loud. All right. And first of all, I want everyone to know he didn't drop his Twitter handle in the beginning. But the reason I chose, because back then I was actually choosing people as opposed to being random, because there wasn't that many people asking to be in my leagues. He's a big Star Wars guy and he has Vader in his handle. So right away, I went right to Mello. So we're going to take this question differently.
So that is, did you say that's what got me in the league?
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Oh, nice. Sweet. Finally, it paid.
Yeah. Hey, man, being such a geek after all this time finally paid off, right? Is trading in the Trade Addicts League, you're in Trade Addicts 2, is trading in Trade Addicts 2 different than trading in any of your other leagues?
Definitely. It's definitely the easiest league to trade in. And I don't know if it's because it's called Trade Addicts or just because everyone is just so cool. But I mean, I literally can, look up a Neil or a, Jerry or one of the Aarons and boom, get something done. I mean, I just did a halfway, semi-rebuild on my team in like 1 week, and I was able to get like somewhere between 3 and 7 trades done. And, I like it. It's easily my favorite league.
Rock and roll. Okay, so we are going to bring this into a little topical from us last year. and into a little bit of an ongoing feud's the wrong word, but argument in the Dynasty community. We had a bit of an arms race at the end of last year, and it spilled into the bit of the beginning of the playoffs. Like you said before, you, I think, ended with the best record. You know, first I had it for a while, and then I think Brian overtook me, then you overtook Brian. Like, it was nuts at the end of the season.
And then none of us won the championship.
And then none of us won the freaking championship.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
But how that all ended.
I thought I was the only one who thought about that.
Oh, no. I mean, jeez. It still haunts my dreams. Like, I stare at that team angrily because of what happened at the end of that year. Does how that year ended, though, change? Or how does that make you feel about trade deadlines? Like, did the fact that we made all those trades, even leading into the first round of the playoffs, make you feel like trading should be cut off at playoffs? Or even though you lost, are you still cool with how everything went down?
Oh, no, I'm totally cool with it because I think I made moves up until, like, the last day. And I was able to grab, like, I want to say James Conner. But I know for a fact I got Julio, like, right before the, you know, right before the playoffs, I think, started or something around there. And my team definitely got better. It just didn't live up to it in the second week of the playoffs. I believe I lost.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And Russ, you and I talked about this on the Super Show the other day. You know, we're hardcore team, no trade deadline. And I understand where... I understand the thought process behind the necessity of a trade deadline. And in certain leagues with certain people, I guess I understand it. I'm just not in support of it. Because if somebody, and here's the other thing, and full disclosure again, you and I mean, we're lucky. The guys that we've assembled in these leagues, guys that you've assembled in these leagues, and I've been lucky to be in the leagues with you guys, you know, people are knocking doors down to try to get in. It's not like somebody can sell out, but then they're not leaving the league. You know what I mean? Like, what'd you lose in the first year of the leagues? You lost like two people, maybe.
Yeah, across like leagues, six, literally lost three people.
Yeah,
that's and one of them was sad about it.
Right. Yeah, our boy Nick.
Miss you, Nick.
Miss you, Nick. Man, that one hurts. That one hurts bad. But yeah, no, that's. I mean, so it's not like it's not now. If you're in a league where people are selling out, and then when they don't win the championship, then they check out, right? That's different, I guess. I mean, that's the reason people have that whole mindset of we need trade deadlines so that people don't completely wreck their team and trade, you know, I don't know. My brain can't even do it tonight, but trade for Larry Fitzgerald when you know he's retiring in a week or 2 weeks, you know. And give away something that's crazy good or whatever, you know, give multiple firsts for Larry Fitzgerald just to sell out and try to win and then wreck your team moving forward. You know, we didn't have any of that in our leagues. We don't have trade deadlines, and we did not have any of that in our leagues. There was one league where it might have been impacted slightly.
Yeah, trade expiry got out of hand with its trading. But again, none of them were bad.
No,
bad trades. It's exactly. Just that one team made a lot of trades that really helped them out, mm-hmm. and they ended up winning. And I mean, yeah, I get it. That can be kind of crappy if you're that other team. But to be fair, you saw that dude making moves. Maybe
you should have. And he didn't wreck his team. He didn't wreck his team in the process
at all.
No. So, you know, I don't know. I'm 100% with you on the whole no trade deadline thing. So,
all right, yeah, that was a little self-serving line of questioning. So I knew that's where it was going to lead.
Yeah.
But speaking of Trade Addicts leads and trades, let's do a trade or two. Hit me with the Trade Addicts trades.
Trade Addicts trades.
Okay, we are going to start with saying Trade Addicts leagues, 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium, 0.05 points for return yardage. Where's the name? Dirty Bird Dynasty at Bird Dynasty wanted us to talk about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and how he's in such a great situation. So I figure first we will go to Trade Addict 6, where J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was traded for Damian Harris and Miles Boykin. Hello. How do you feel?
Did you say me?
I did say you.
How do you feel? I am J-Jaw by a mile on that.
First of all, his nickname is Sega.
Sega.
I'm Sega by a mile there. I absolutely love Sega. I mean, I have a lot of my redraft leagues are 10th round and up. You keep one guy. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's not really keeper. It's just like you just keep one guy till next year, not dynasty or keeper or anything. And I plan on taking Sega in every single league. So I don't know about this year, but I absolutely love him going forward. I saw people before the draft hyping him as, you know, as the best receiver in the whole draft. And I just love him. I don't want to compare him to anyone because it'll get too crazy. But yeah, I think he's great.
See, the thing is, I think the best comparison for him is the dude he's on the team with. I mean, he pretty much is a better high-pointing Alshon Jeffrey, and right. He's on the team with Alshon Jeffrey. And the reason he's in such a great situation is because right. next year, right. Alshon, Aguilar, D-Jax, Gonski, all of them. So, I mean, Sega gets a year to learn from all of these dudes.
And they're saying Alshon's not even...
What?
Right, and they're saying Alshon's not even practicing right now.
Yeah. Sega's getting first team reps and he is shining, I think was their word. I mean, a giant dude is gonna look great in shorts. I mean, that's just what's good because you know, D-backs can't do anything. So, I mean, yeah, I love the summer speak.
Yeah,
that is what that is. But I think this is pretty much a Sega podcast, which sounds funny when you say those words put together because it's not actually a Sega podcast, but so I'm siding with this. If I believe in the Sony Michel no-knees, I could see why going for Damian Harris makes sense. And I think Miles Boykin is the wide receiver to own in Baltimore. I like him to fit that offense more than Hollywood.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. So there's a lot of Sega love in this podcast. I don't think this is bad. I think in a draft, value-wise, this makes perfect sense. Sega goes into first, beginning of the second. Harris goes a few picks later, and Boykin goes in the third.
So can I say I'm pissed off at this trade?
Okay.
Because this is... So I know... I mean, this was in a league where I was... Last week on our live show, I was offered a trade during the show by this gentleman. And I, for the first time in a very long time, I looked at my roster.
Oh, what'd you do?
Well, I'm pretty sure this was J Mike, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he offered me Sega for Tevin Coleman last week.
That's right.
And I tried to do a pick swap on 2020. So I tried to get him to give a 2020 second and me a 2023 just to get a little more value because Coleman he's probably going to play in my lineup like as a flex play. And I'm outside. Like I have two solid starting running backs and then I have Coleman. And I was like, oh, running backs. Like, oh, I'm going to go down to two running backs. And I screwed myself because I look back at that every day since I said no to that. Like, I should have done it because I love Sega. So,
yeah,
you're
not pissed off at this trade. You're pissed off at yourself.
I'm pissed off at myself. Right. Yeah.
So, apologize to J-Mike right now.
J-Mike, I'm sorry. I love you. We're soulmates. Not in a weird way. But, you the man. So,
I don't know you, J-Mike, but you sound like a cool guy.
J Mike's freaking awesome. All right, you actually threw one of your trades on here, Mello. So why don't you tell us about the league and tell us about the trade?
This is the Simpsons auction league But the settings are basically the same as Trade Addicts. I'm pretty sure they're exactly the same.
Way to be original, Dustin. Jeez. Stealing my
yeah,
stuff.
It's actually, yeah, Dustin is the commissioner, and I traded with Dustin. And I, when I made the trade, I thought, oh, this is, because I have a great team. I think it's great. And I made it, and I was like, oh, I won this. But as soon as it popped, that poll hit Twitter, I was 70-30 in his favor. So, but it was, I got Stephon Diggs and Mark Ingram, and he got 2021st Cooper Kupp and what's the other guy's name?
Tyler Lockett.
No. I'm sorry. It wasn't Lockett. It was the other guy from Seattle now. The rookie.
Oh, Metcalf.
DK.
Yeah, DK. I'm sorry. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, DK.
All right, so it was Diggs and Mark Ingram for Cooper Kupp, DK Metcalf, and the 2021st.
Right.
I want your side.
Yeah, I mean, I was fine with it because I don't know what – I don't even know if I was going to start Metcalf, and then I'm the Cooper Kupp here, and he could sit a few games. It just had me scared, so – I'm ready to start taking that league over. So I just like, screw it. I like Diggs a lot. So let's
do it. This is absolutely a Stephon Diggs podcast. So I think you got the much safer side for sure. And especially the this year's side.
Right.
I'm all for your side. This is actually a super even trade because I feel like Kupp and a first should get you Diggs and DK and Ingram. Why not? Right. So, I mean, I feel it's Ingram, a super even trade.
The Ingram thing, I was really just trying to get value. I mean, I could literally trade him tonight and not care as long as I get something for him.
That's a person you're talking about.
Yeah. No, I'm sure he's a great guy also.
You're covering your mouth thinking, Brian. What are you thinking?
No, I think it's a very fair trade when I'm looking at it. I think a contender is going to side probably on that, on the Diggs. I mean, the Diggs Ingram side makes sense for a contender, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other side I think is fine for value wise. I think it's right. It's almost right on.
Yeah, it's a very fair trade. Yeah. I mean, if Diggs is on the side of a fair trade, I'm taking the Diggs side.
Right.
Okay. So, Melo, if you had to choose, would you choose rap or fantasy football?
Well, I don't really rap anymore. Just, getting older, run out of shit to say. and it was fun. I made a little bit of money, and it was fun as hell. And I have songs that people to this day tell me they like, and I play my stuff all the time. I like it. But as of right now, fantasy football is my thing, so I'm going to go with that.
Nice. Okay. Let's go back to trades. All right. Let's talk about this one. Trade Addict 6 again. This is a me trade.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Evans
mm-hmm.
for Kenny Golladay and Noah Fant.
You win!
Okay. Tight end premium is 1.75 PPR.
You still win.
Shane feels the need to say this every single time. So I want to make sure, I don't want him to be, but you didn't remind people. Did I just get a text message? Is that what happened?
No, you got sheep. He was posted.
Because my
about being sheep.
Oh, no, my phone makes a goat noise anytime I get a message from a DM from GroupMe.
Oh, nice.
So I thought someone was talking to me. Melo, so let's say you saw this go down in TA2. How would you feel about it? Same settings.
I mean, I wouldn't care about if any trade went down, because I trust everyone that something good's going to happen. But I think it depends what tight ends you have to me.
Oh, no. Don't give me that crap. Don't pull a Brian right
That's
now.
That's what I do every week.
Team dependent. Well, it's team dependent. No, it's not. Tell me which side you like better.
Probably the – who did you get?
I'll tell you after you answer.
I'm a Evans guy, so, I mean, to me, I'm big on getting the best player in the trade, so – Give me Evans.
All right, you can stay on the show because I got Evans. This, I mean,
yeah.
Value wise, I guess it's a little short to me, but in a go get your guys kind of way, Shane believes in Galladay. Fant in the 1.75 in like 2 years is probably going to be a top three tight end, because by then Kelsey will be like 34, in which case you might as well give him a Walker. So the trade to me is more even than everyone siding with me makes it seem, even though I love that everyone's siding with me because it makes me feel good about myself. But yeah, I mean, clearly I'll take Evans because that's what I did.
Yeah, I think for me it's not, I'm lower on Galladay than most people. So I think that's where the discrepancy comes in for me or the whatever it is that pushes me to the Evans side. You know, you're praying that Galladay turns into you're praying that either Galladay turns into Mike Evans or that Noah Fant is a top three tight end. So if one of those things happens, it's closer. If both of them happen, okay. You know, I think it's a fine trade value wise. I think based on the current values of these players, I think the trade is fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't think the value's out of whack. I just personally would give those two players up for Mike Evans in pretty much any league I'm in.
Okay. That's enough validation. We can move on. Peter Howard at PA Howdy wants to know, should kittens wear mittens?
Absolutely.
Especially if you don't want them messing your stuff up. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Am I going to get, like, is somebody going to come after me for, like, animal cruelty because I put mittens on? And this world is so freaking crazy these days.
No, you're not declawing them, so you're just, you know, protecting yourself.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, I
don't have to answer that. It's right?
Different.
No, you don't have to answer that. No. but his real question, he asked me this. We talked about this when I was on the Crossroads, which was a whole lot of fun. Mm-hmm. A player you are finally willing to cut from your team to make room for someone else. Like, who's someone that you're finally just done with?
Brian, you can go first.
Oh, damn it.
Okay, let me help you out a little bit. Josh Doctson was one that came out of my mouth real fast. Like, I was ready to say done with Josh Doctson.
Yeah.
I mean, I have Rob Kelly on a roster. I was willing to drop him pretty easily, too.
So we're talking about literally just cutting people, right?
Right, like, off your team.
Okay. Corey Coleman.
Okay.
Is that okay? I don't know. I mean,
see, I said that on the show, too, and then I started thinking about it the second I said it. He's the closest thing they have to an outside receiver right now. So, if they run 15 plays in a row of Saquon running and, you know, three pass plays with an average depth of target of 4 yards because it's Golden Tate and Sterling Shepard, who's to say Eli can't, you know, close his eyes and throw the ball as hard as he can and it'll go 17 yards to Corey Coleman as he's running in a straight line?
17 yards. I love it.
I'm sorry. Eli can't throw the ball very far anymore.
That's funny. That's funny.
I mean, to be fair, yes, you should probably be willing to give up on Corey Coleman right now. And it's just my love for him 3 years ago that is making it really tough for me to give up on him. But yeah, to me, like, those guys are two people I'm completely willing to give up on. Is there anyone that comes to your head, Melo?
Yeah, I just thought of two guys. Someone mentioned this today, and it was totally right on. Is Zach Zenner. And this other guy I hate to drop, but Jake Kumerow.
Yeah, the really late guys. Okay, well, we're talking about Jake Kumerow. Who's your favorite second Green Bay wide receiver? Geronimo, Jamon Moore, Equinemius St. Brown, or Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
I'm going to go with MVS only because I like Geronimo. I always been on Geronimo. But for some reason, he has this cap on him, like where he never goes over 80 yards. It's like he gets like right to 80 yards and nothing else over that. And I'm like, I just can't. So I don't know.
All right. We had a trade today in Trade Addicts 5. Marquez Valdes-Scantling for Nyheim Hines. How do you feel about that one?
Oh, I have no love for Hines. I don't. I'm sure he's great. Catching passes, great, all that. But I haven't seen anything from him that warrants any. I think they're still going to get a running back in a year or two. So I'm not. I would take MVS.
Yeah, I think I would too, just because I feel like he has the higher ceiling. Hines in his rookie year caught like 60 balls, but they also just brought in Paris Campbell, who in college had an average depth of target of like 2. So, I mean, that probably eats into Hines's catches. So, well, value-wise to me.
60 balls, but I don't think he's winning anyone leagues. You know.
No, but I mean, he's more like a zero RB candidate.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, that was fun. I'm glad we did that.
So I got another one, too.
Okay.
Josh Gordon.
Hey, man, there's rumors that he's coming back. And done. He's not suspended.
Not on my rosters. I'll believe in Josh Gordon again after he's been in the league for a year without getting suspended. Or going to rehab or getting cut or whatever. And again, this is no, is nothing, I'm not saying anything at all about his character. I'm saying as a fantasy player that is on my teams, I don't want anything to do with him.
Yeah, I'm right there also.
How many years has he been sitting on your roster? And I'm not saying yours, Russ, or yours, Mello. I'm saying the people out there listening, how many years has he been sitting on your roster? Where you've gotten jack shit out of him.
I've never even touched the guy personally in my short years of Dynasty, so I wouldn't know because of that same reason.
What'd you say, Russ? You absolutely
had a bunch of shares of Josh Gordon throughout the past few years. 2 years ago, I did a startup, and he was Mr. Irrelevant, and I grabbed him with the last pick of the entire draft. Play ahead at stretch last year. I mean, I'm not going to hate on it. All right. Well, thank you, Peter, for those questions.
Yes. Tip of the hat to you, Peter.
Oh, yes. Englishman, tip of the hat. Let's talk about a Brian trade. Trade Addicts 5. Brandon Cooks for Allen Robinson and a 2020 first. Now, since Brian did this, Mello. What do you think?
Wait 1 second. That is actually factually not correct. It was a 2021 first.
Was it now?
Oh,
I apologize.
That definitely changes things.
I'm pretty sure it was anyways.
If I actually was going to edit this, I would edit it just to make it seem like I did it right the first time, but I'm not going to.
I am trying to. I'm going to look it up just to make sure. Because
no, I think you're right, because I got offered Boyd and a 2021 first for Cooks.
That's right, and I took the deal before you could press it.
Yeah. Yeah, so someone was shopping Cooks, clearly, for a lower wide receiver in a 2021 first, and he beat me to it. So, Mello. Brandon Cooks or Allen Robinson in a 2021 first?
Yeah, I'm Cooks all day. Cooks
yeah.
For me.
I got that offer of Boyd in a 2021 first, and I definitely let my Boyd love cloud me, which I'm sure you let your A-Rob love cloud you for a few minutes.
Yep.
I was going to hit that button and then saw the email come through, and I damn it hard in all capital letters. In the chat, realizing because it didn't really click in my brain that we're talking about the same league and the same trade and all that stuff.
So I saw a tweet today. I don't believe it was actually 100% correct based on the statistics because of one man. But so There was a tweet that came out that said Brandon Cooks has one less 1,100-yard season. Did you guys see this?
Nope.
Brandon Cooks has one less. And again, I didn't fact check this, so.
Well, it's on the internet, so it has to be true.
Yes. Okay. So Brandon Cooks has one less 1,100-yard season than Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, Amari Cooper, Kenny Golladay, Julian Edelman, Doug Baldwin, Corey Davis, and Tyler Lockett combined.
I'm assuming Corey Davis doesn't have one. Edelman, I don't think Edelman has one either.
Now Keenan, so Keenan has two.
Well, but I mean, Amari has been in the league for about 5 years and probably has four. Because I don't think he played enough his rookie year because he broke his leg or something.
Right, but Doug Baldwin was in the league for 8-9 years, right?
Didn't really come on for the past 3 or 4.
Okay, but regardless, I mean, these are all guys that are like...
I mean, I could definitely see that being a thing. I could definitely see that being real.
And Cooks is only 2 months older than Kenny Golladay and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I love that. He's been in the league for 5 years, but he's the same age as rookies coming in right now.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Crazy.
Yep.
Can one of you guys let Trade Addicts 2 know that Brandon Cooks is now on the block?
Trade him to me, Mello.
You got him? Oh, man. Okay. You can start a bidding war right now.
I have him. Okay. We'll have to talk.
Brian, you talk about something else because I'm definitely not pulling up my roster right now.
I'm definitely not pulling up my roster right now either.
All right. I don't want to edit, so I'm not going to let too much silence kick in. So we're gonna move on.
All right. Let's go ahead.
I don't want Allen Robinson, though.
Wait, who has him? Me. Doesn't matter. Yeah, of course you do.
Just traded Larry, him to me in that league.
Oh yeah, that was last. That was down the live show. That was awesome.
Yep.
Dino Monkey, Larry Monkey wants to know what's up with the Jerron Brown hype. Will this affect DK's emergence? Two things. No.
Who?
Exactly. I want the Jerron Brown to be a thing so bad. A, because he's a Seahawk, and I want someone on the Seahawks to do well. But like, he was the only big dude on the team, and they just did not use him whatsoever. Like, they have an aversion to using big dudes the way they're supposed to use them. Or they'll get two games and then just completely ignored. So, yeah, Jerron Brown is getting some camp hype, but again, it's June. So, no, this will have absolutely nothing to do with DK Metcalf.
I agree.
Me too.
I don't know what else to talk about. Anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, let's do another trade.
All right, you talk about it. You start.
Okay. All right. So let's do.
Oh, you know what? I have something after that. I just
no, Mello. Go ahead. If you got something, go ahead. Let's go.
Have any of you guys happened to get my Scott Fishbowl invitation in your inbox by mistake?
To be fair, they're not personalized. It just says, hey, you reading this. So I could have gotten yours by mistake. I don't know.
Probably did.
To be fair.
No, I'm just fooling around. I was in it last year, and I haven't been to work today, so I might have got it. But I'm hoping, fingers crossed, I could join you guys this year after my horrible showing last year.
Pretty sure you finished better than I did. But, yeah. I mean, it took like 3 weeks into invitations last year before I got mine. And I think as of a few days ago, they were only like halfway in.
Yeah, he was barely halfway in.
I have a funny story about that. I'll make it really quick. So my work emails is where my Scott Fishbowl invitation goes. And I can only check that while I'm at work. And so I was coming in to work on the final day last year of the Scott Fishbowl when it was literally the final day when he was making the very last cut. I hadn't checked my email yet because it was sitting in there all weekend. And so it was like Friday night he sent it, and I got there, I think it was Monday, and I hadn't checked my inbox yet. And so right when I'm pulling up to work, I believe I got a DM from Scott himself saying, like, dude, do you want in this or not? Yeah. So I had the invite sitting in my email for 3 days, and I almost missed it by a few minutes.
Man, you should sign up with your personal email next year.
Yeah.
So I'm nervous. I'm nervous this year about the SFB because, Russ, I sent you a message about that 1 week in the summer, right, that I'm going to be like halfway off the grid, not completely off the grid, but like halfway off the grid. It's the week of the draft. So I am not happy about that. Now, I've already talked to the wife and the awesomeness of my wife.
So, okay, more importantly, how did you explain to her what Scott Fishbowl was, and did she care at the end?
No, she actually – so here's the coolest – here's probably the coolest thing about my wife. When my wife hears the word charity, it pretty much is like a golden ticket. Like if I say I'm doing for something for charity, she pretty much is like, okay, like I'm good with that, whatever. Now, if she knew how much I was doing for charity, sometimes I don't know. I mean, maybe not, but no, she understands what it is. And you know, I mean, last year when I got in for the first time, I had to tell someone, right? And she was the first person I talked to, not online after that. So I told her all about it and everything. So she knows. You know, she knows the gist. She knows about the pot-a-thon thing that the Flaffle House guys do and all of that. So it's good stuff. I mean, she's all on board with that. She's not on board with the t-shirts necessarily, or the fact that I bought multiple t-shirts this year, but that's okay. You know, it is.
Just let her show her my Twitter thread. I'm on, I think, day 14 today.
Yeah, you pretty much saved me with a lot of this stuff. Like I told her about the upcoming thing that we're not going to talk about on the air yet.
Not yet. Okay.
And she, you know, I kind of explained what was going on and that, you know, that we were doing this and whatnot. And she's like, yeah, that's cool. Like she was totally fine with it. So, but I am the point of this whole tangent is that I am nervous because I'm going to be semi off the grid the day that the week of the Scott, like I leave for vacation per se that Sunday and the draft starts Monday, I think, right? Monday the 8th. Is it the 8th?
Sounds right. The 8th.
Yeah. So, and then I'm gone that whole week. So I told her, I'm like, listen, I'm like that Monday, I'm going somewhere. If they don't have Wi-Fi, I'm hoping they have Wi-Fi. If they have Wi-Fi, I'll be golden because I'll be able to, you know, you have a decent amount of time, and I'll just let my league know, and I'll try to pre-draft and all that fun stuff. But, yeah, I'm a little bit shook that it's that same week, but is what it is. Excited to be part of it again. So,
all right, well, that's enough talking about stuff that very few people out there will actually.
What color shirt did you get?
Sand. I got the Mario version. I went Mario over the Sega version, and I got sand.
So I go ahead, sorry.
I have too many gray, black, and blue fantasy football shirts. Like right now, I got a gray Dynasty Command Center shirt on. Just it's such a neutral color that works perfectly. So I figured I'd go a little out of my safety box, and I went yellowish.
Well, I got that gray Lava Takes Only from Top Shelf, right? And I saw your blue one, and I was like, had immediate regret.
Oh, the baby blue one. Yeah.
Yes, it's because it's really sweet. So I ended up going with that ice blue. I'm not normally an ice blue type of guy, but I did go with the ice blue on that, and then I got the Sega version too, because why not?
Yeah, why not? Charity. It's all about charity. Okay, so. Moving on, because, you know, Melo's just sitting there sort of staring at the phone. let's see. All right. Mike Williams and a 2021st or Melvin Gordon?
Melgo for me.
Melvin. Melvin. Melo's for Melvin.
I get it. And that's probably the real answer. I think I'm not as in on Melvin Gordon as I was like 2 weeks ago. And I don't really have a reason why. I would be completely okay with Mike Williams in the 2021st, especially if, like, I know he will want to be pointed out. He's in a bit of a rebuild, even though we just had the startup.
Right. If he's in a rebuild, that's totally different, because I'm a huge Mike Williams guy, but I got to go for Melvin right now.
Yeah. Melvin, his chicken legs kind of worry me a little bit, I'll be honest. Mike Williams, I like the idea of him. I was a fan of him coming out. I was a little sad with the landing spot. Okay, so if you're a Mike Williams guy, what do you think? Do you think Mike Williams and Hunter Henry are too repetitive? Like, do you think that they'll just cancel each other out?
I personally how do I say this? I'm not even thinking about Hunter Henry whatsoever, because it seems like he's always hurt anyways. So I'm just forgetting about him for now and hoping that big, tall Mike Williams can just get those touchdowns thrown up to him and he's just coming down with everything.
Yeah, like and I am hashtag Team Clemson wide receiver. I mean, for sure. I'm going to go with Mike Williams and the first on this.
So Gordon was the running back 7 last year.
Probably 6 before, 5 before, 6 before. I know.
He was 4 in average points per game. He only played in 12 games. So that hurts. But he scored 2 games of the 12 games he played. In two games, he scored under 20 points. One of those games, he scored 19.5, and the other one was 14.5. Melvin Gordon, when he's on the field, is a stud. Like, 100% stud when he's on the field.
When he's
injuries,
on the field.
Yeah, injuries, I mean, absolutely. Injuries are a concern and are a part of the game that we play, right? But man, when that guy is on the field in that offense, he is a stud. So, but again, with that situation, and we've seen what he's been doing in that league too. That particular dynasty owner, and I think I don't think it's a bad trade for him, based on what he's been doing. Rebuilding, I guess, his roster. Yeah. So
we'll call it punting year one,
yeah,
instead of rebuilding, because
there
we
you
just
go.
Did the startup.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Well, I am fading. Like, I can't even think of words to say. So I think we're going to call it quits.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. My daughter's hovering over me. I think she wants something from 7-Eleven. So,
dude, it is. Oh, yeah. You're West Coast. I'm like, it's 11 7, o'clock, man. It is not 11 o'clock for you.
Oh, no, the sun's actually still out here. I'm not even kidding.
All right, man. Well, before we go, why don't you tell people where they could find you and tell them how awesome it is to be in a Trade Addicts League.
Right. I have a few people I wanted to say what's up to. So you can follow me at Melovator, at Melovator916, talking Star Wars and hyping up DJ Moore, Mike Williams, Kiki Cootie, guys like that. Again, thanks for having me on the show, guys, and in your league. It was awesome. Real quick, shout out to JP and Tyrone. Shout out to my Firefest League buddies, Mitch, John, Mike. Shout out to Dustin, everybody in the Simpsons League. Just wanted to say, Trade Addicts 2 all day, every day. Down with Trade Addicts 3. Shout out to everybody there. Rob, Neil, Jerry, Alan, Tanner, the Aarons, everybody. And a wise man once said, two's company and three's a crowd and trash. I'm out.
Boom.
I love it. I love
it. Wow. Love it. And he straight up left. He is out. Wow. He literally, he dropped his mic and walked away. That's what just happened.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's so baller.
That is baller. That's Mellow right there, man. That's awesome. That is
good
awesome.
Dude. Good dude.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, man. All right. Yeah. No. Dude. TradeAddictsPod.StoreEnvy.com. I can't even get that out. One day I will get that right the first time. Today is not that day. TradeAddictsPod.StoreEnvy.com. Go buy some stuff because stuff is awesome. And Trade Addicts stuff is even awesomer.
Awesomer.
Yep. That's a word. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You know, why not? Sure. I don't know. Do you have anything to say?
Night out, House.
Night, Brian.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Barr FF. And follow the pod at Trade Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.